Selling author, Mystery Science Theater 3000 legend, Midwest's own Mary Jo Peel.
Director's Cut, every Sunday night from 8 to 9 on locally grown radio.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Christopher Cruz. Police say a man has shot and killed three people on the campus of the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. They say the shooter is dead. More from KLS-TV's Vanessa Murphy.
Someone said active shooter running across.
This UNLV student says he and other classmates in a nearby building used tables to barricade themselves inside a classroom.
I'm still scared out of my mind right now.
As the campus of more than 30,000 remained on lockdown.
Her teacher just locked up the room, said they're not letting nobody out.
Those off campus used their phones to keep in contact with panicked loved ones.
Law enforcement sources tell CBS News the shooter was a white man in his 60s, a college professor who taught in Georgia and North Carolina. Four of the five Republican presidential candidates met for the final time before the Iowa caucuses.
Of the two main targets at the Wednesday night debate on News Nation, one was there, one was not. The one who was, Nikki Haley, took a lot of incoming and stood her ground.
I served our country as UN ambassador and governor.
As for the one who wasn't there, Chris Christie kept asking the others if they thought Donald Trump was fit to be president again.
This is the problem with my three colleagues. They're afraid to offend. If you're afraid to offend Donald Trump, then what are you going to do when you sit across from Putin?
Tom Foti, CBS News, Washington.
The 42-year-old son of North Dakota Republican Senator Kevin Cramer was involved in a police chase, that is, Wednesday night in the state that killed a sheriff's deputy. In a statement, Senator Cramer said Ian Cramer suffers from, quote, serious mental health disorders which manifest in severe paranoia and hallucinations. We grieve especially for the family of the hero who tried to help Ian. The Pentagon has grounded all of its Osprey V-22 helicopters a week after eight American troops died when an Osprey crashed off the coast of southern Japan. CBS News military consultant Jeff McCausland on how long the grounding will last.
It could be for quite a period of time, depending on what happens. I mean, these kind of investigations want to ascertain why this is occurring, if it's something that can be a routine fix.
The pioneering television producer Norman Lear has died. He was 101 years old. Entertainment Tonight's Kevin Frazier says Lear had guts.
He dared to show a black business owner who was very successful in the 70s. He dared to show black life in the projects.
Lear was behind All in the Family, The Jeffersons, and Sanford and Son, among other television programs. A grand jury in Nevada has indicted six Republicans who submitted certificates to Congress falsely declaring that Donald Trump was the winner of the 2020 presidential election. This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credit.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehoe. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call says he's pleased with a Dane County judge's ruling essentially restoring abortion rights in Wisconsin.
The 1849 law does not prohibit abortions in Wisconsin. And so we have now gone a long way to restoring access to safe and legal abortion in Wisconsin.
Judge Diane Schlipping says Wisconsin's law enacted in 1849 bans infanticide, not abortion. The ruling is expected to be appealed. People younger than 18 seeking gender-affirming care in Wisconsin will keep getting it. Governor Evers vetoed on Wednesday a ban passed by the legislature this fall. Most major medical associations say gender-affirming care is evidence-based and saves lives. Evers says he'll veto any bill he considers anti-LGBTQ. I'm Nate Wegehoe, Civic Media News.
Marquette rebounds with a win over Texas. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Marquette Golden Eagles, after losing to Wisconsin, bounced back with an 85-65 win over Texas. Tyler Kolek with 28 points and 8 rebounds. Marquette now ranked 8th in the nation when they host Notre Dame Saturday night. The Wisconsin women's volleyball team in the Sweet 16, a part of the NCAA tournament, they're going to host Penn State today at the UW Fieldhouse. NBA, it's the Bucks and the Pacers in Las Vegas. In the next round of the in-season tournament, will Giannis spend some time at the craps tables?
Whatever happens in Vegas. You know what I'm saying?
But you'll bring the trophy home if you win it.
I don't know. I might stay in Vegas. Well, do we get some cash if we win?
Yeah, you get some cash too.
Play some blackjack.
Yeah, sure.
You know, I'm gonna go play some roulette. Put it on black.
Okay.
Double my money. You know what I'm saying?
I got you.
Red 34. You know, I know.
That's the Bucks, Giannis Antetokounmpo with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. 46 today, under sunny skies, south winds around 5 miles per hour. Lows around 34 tonight, high of 49 tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 35.
Every day, people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. How do you locate a support group for widows or housing for an elderly parent? United Way's 211 is free and confidential.
Why do we have celery? What else can you do with a Dutch oven? Where did the word kitchen even come from? The Kitchen's Open answers these kinds of questions and includes fun history facts around our favorite foods, meals, and family cuisine traditions. Our WFHR team will entertain you each week on Mondays during the 9 o'clock hour on WFHR's Morning Show with The Kitchens Open.
This was a civil case. I'm going to say something about why there is no prosecution of it criminally. Mm-hmm. But the civil case was brought to get damages and to get a declaratory judgment and an injunction against these fake electors. Now, bringing the case involves attorney's fees. And as I understand it, I've not read the settlement agreement yet, but this is a bit of a slap on the wrist. This has them saying, okay, we agree Joe Biden won the election as president. Well, duh. Yeah, he has. He's been president for 2.5 years. He's been in the White House. Secondly, I think some of the other terms are that they can't do it again. Well, all right, they can't do it again, and they can't do it in 2024. But third, the one little piece of valuable stuff in this is that they would cooperate with the Department of Justice. Now, I have a feeling that it was clear that they weren't going to be getting large damages, the plaintiffs, and it's expensive to keep up a lawsuit. But the one kernel of good that I see coming out of this is this, and I'm sure they thought about it and they somehow decided to do it anyway. If Josh Call decides to prosecute, and remember, there are different kinds of statutes of limitations. Right now, this happened back in late 2000, early 2001, let's say late 2000, when they met here in Madison and then they sent in the false certification. We're bumping up on 3 years, coming up fairly close. And there are different statutes of limitations for different things. Perjury, which is what this is, obstruction of Congress. And I've not researched all of them, but some are 2 years, some are 3 years, some are 5 years, and so on. Is Josh Call going to prosecute this thing? Mm-hmm. And the reason I say that is this settlement agreement is admissible in evidence against them in a criminal proceeding. Mm-hmm. In other words, if Josh Call decides to prosecute them and they go on the stand and say, I didn't do it, you just show them this and you said you agree that Joe Biden was the elected guy and yet you knifed them anyway. So the only real sanction that comes out of this is going to be if Josh Call decides to do what I think is the right thing and prosecute these guys, like the Attorney General of Michigan, like the District Attorney in Fulton County, Georgia, and quite frankly, Jack Smith, the big kahuna going after Trump himself. But there's an investigation in Nevada, there's an investigation in Arizona. For Pete's sake, Josh, get off the dime. Here you have exhibit number one in a prosecution.
Matt, let's take people back for those that might not follow this as closely as the rest of us. This stems from after Donald Trump lost the election and Joe Biden legitimately won the election, these Republicans met in the state capitol and created a fake set of electors. They signed their name to it, and they attempted on January 6th to get this done, and that's kind of where this stemmed from, correct?
No, that's exactly right. And listen, Ron Johnson, our senator, should be a defendant too. He was walking around with the fake electors from Michigan as well as Wisconsin in his pocket and tried to feed them to Mike Pence. He was in on it. Robin Voss was in on it. He set up the conference room and told everybody to shut up about it and try to conceal it. And Fitzgerald, who's now a congressman, apparently was the one who steered them to that conference room. So there's a lot of people with blood on their hands in this thing, and that's exactly right. These were the fake electors.
So according to this great reporting by Patrick Marley of the Washington Post, and again, he is going to join us after the break at the bottom of the hour on this program live. But according to Marley's reporting, no money is being exchanged as part of the settlement. However, the Biden electors are continuing their lawsuit against two attorneys who assisted the Wisconsin Republicans, Jim Troupas, a former Dane County judge who led Trump's recount efforts in the state, and Kenneth Chesbro, who advised Republicans around the country and pleaded guilty in October to conspiring to overturn Biden's win in Georgia. So, Matt, it appears that those two folks are not off the hook. And here's the thing I want you to also talk about in the time we have left here. According to Marley, the 10 Republicans said they would not assist with any attempts to submit false elector paperwork in any election. They also promised to assist or to help the Department of Justice with its investigation to help the Biden electors as they continue their lawsuit against Troupas and Chesbro.
Yeah, and that's significant. With Troupas and Chesbro, who were in on it up to their ears, to have these people agree to cooperate against them will be very significant witnesses. And that litigation is ongoing. But the other thing is to let a guy off simply by saying, I was wrong to do it and I won't do it again. You know, there's a lot of people like to get off on that basis. Right. Now, here, I have a feeling they figured it's not going anywhere financially, and we're burning up legal fees and so forth. So what the heck? But what I want to emphasize, is Josh Call has exhibit number one.
As an attorney, Matt, you've been in a lot of courtrooms at all levels, from local all the way through federal, all the way up the bench. You've seen a lot of things in the courtroom. In your legal opinion, Matt, as an attorney, do you think this is a good deal for the people of Wisconsin and the United States? Do you agree with what the prosecutors have cut here?
I do, and there's an old adage that the best settlement is one where everybody on both sides is dissatisfied with it. In other words, I'm not gonna get in their head. I mean, the thing is, they were gonna win, but what are they gonna win? Yeah, they're an injunction and a declaratory judgment, and that and 50 cents will get you on the bus. I mean, you know, what are they gonna win? They're not gonna get any money, but they got them to admit that they did wrong. But what they really got them to do is two things, Troupas and Chesbro. And if Josh Call would just get off the dime and prosecute these people, he is exhibit number one.
Before we let him go, Pat Kreitlow of Up North News, Trigvi Olson, Lincoln Project. Any questions you have for Matt from a legal perspective in this case breaking today?
Well, from a legal standpoint, I wonder about a couple of things. First off, whether, you know, Scott Fitzgerald, who was then still the Senate Republican leader and a congressman-elect, faces any liability for his role in getting these frauds into the Capitol building while there were still COVID restrictions in place. They weren't supposed to be there. And what did we learn from Patrick's reporting? This. As they were in the building that day, they brought a 4-man armed security team with them, according to text messages. I do wonder about, you know, Scott Fitzgerald's culpability and how this got to be such a mess. And then, you know, the other is Bob Spindell. He is still on the Wisconsin Elections Commission. And whether you think there's any chance that will change, or if Spindell will be allowed to hold on to that, you know, somewhat important position, Matt, on the State Elections Commission.
Yeah, those are some very excellent points, Pat, very excellent points and some very good factual context. And I do think that Fitzgerald and Ron Johnson and Robin Voss have culpability here. And if there were a criminal prosecution, if Fannie Willis or somebody like the AG in Michigan were bringing it, they'd be in very, very hot water. With Spindell, remember, he was one of the ones. He is a fake elector. But more importantly, he is on the Wisconsin Election Commission voting on things having to do with elections in 2024. Right. And they won't take him off. And now they're trying to turn it over to the Secretary of State, but really have them keep control. We have to stop that. But that's excellent context. There's a lot of culpable people who are not let off by this settlement.
Trigby Olson, about two minutes left. Any specific questions for Matt before we let him go?
Yeah, I kind of wonder, Matt, do you think that this is a case? I mean, Smith is obviously focused on Trump, right, for starters, because he's got to move that fast.
Right.
But you would think that people who are members of Congress and elected officials in these things are typically held to a higher bar than citizens who end up playing a role, right? It's like the straw donations thing.
Correct.
Is it possible that they're just cutting the deal with these guys because they're really thinking, okay, Donald Trump is the guy we've got to move expeditiously on because of the elections? But they still would have time to go back after some of the others who are elected officials who played a role in this. And these people would be pretty helpful in that.
Matt, about a minute left, your response.
Yeah, I think that's right. And certainly with Troupas and Chesbrough, that's very true. I'd like to think that Ron Johnson, that Fitzgerald and Voss would be in on this in terms of being defendants. And I also would really like to see our attorney general at least start a John Doe or a grand jury investigation, because that's what they did in Arizona and in Nevada.
Great reporting, everyone, especially Patrick Marley. He'll be with us at the bottom of the hour. Matt Flynn direct follows us immediately at 2 o'clock. Thank you, my friend. I really appreciate your perspective. Always a pleasure to have you on.
Thank you, Todd.
Stay tuned. Thank you, Pat Kreitlow and Trigby Olson continue on the other side. This is a special.
Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
UPUS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to a special edition breaking news of the Todd Allball Show for Wednesday, December 6th, now 20 past the hour of 12 noon. Thanks for joining us across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app worldwide. You can download it on your Apple or Android device. Simply put in Civic Media. It'll pop up. Takes less than a minute. It is free. It's what Gail King at CBS calls a deal. With us, as always, on Wednesdays, it is Trigby Olson, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, former Republican like myself, and host of Up North News Radio every morning across Civic Media from 6 until 8, our friend and colleague, Pat Kreitlow. Gentlemen, speaking of a deal, did either one of you, we're covering this breaking news, the Washington Post, Patrick Marley, the reporter who broke it, will be on the air with us after our next break at the bottom of the hour. Did either one of you expect this announcement today? Is this why you thought this would end with these fake electors in Wisconsin essentially cutting a deal with the prosecution? Pat?
Your place for this area's news, talk, and sports. We are locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver, and we dedicate a lot of our time to going as fast as possible. My Grandpa Lou is the reason why my dad and I started racing, and I'm really proud to follow in his tracks. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. I've learned a lot on this journey with my grandpa Lou, and the memories of my grandpa will always be with me. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently, experiencing problems with their memory, or having trouble with routine tasks. Talking about Alzheimer's can be really tough, but if you notice something, have a conversation with your loved one. Encourage them to see a doctor or offer to go with them. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services, make a plan for the future, and access available treatments. The Alzheimer's Association provides care, support, and research to help you take control of the situation with your family and manage the disease together. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/time-to-talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
You're tuned into your home for the Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
And I think this is a win for voters in Wisconsin that these guys had to admit what they were doing and that the election was not fraudulent. I thought one of the interesting things in Patrick's piece was Andrew Hitt saying he wouldn't ever support Donald Trump again.
Yes.
He was chair of the Wisconsin Republican Party. He's a really conservative guy. I think he probably has felt the cognitive dissonance of backing Trump. The fact that he's come out and said that, I think, is important. Now, it'll be interesting to see how much he's willing to say that to people, at least in terms of the politics of it. But I agree with Pat. It's a good day for the people of Wisconsin and who and what Wisconsin is about. And the Attorney General's office, and quite frankly, the federal prosecutors, whoever pushed this, they deserve credit for holding these people accountable and making them have to apologize.
Trivia, I want to pick up on this. Andrew Hitt, a native of Richland Center in southwest Wisconsin like myself. In fact, we used to go to the same church, Peace United Methodist Church at Richland Center.
What do you always say? There is always a Richland Center connection.
There's always 6 degrees of separation to Richland Center. Absolutely.
As Richland Center goes, so goes the nation, Todd.
But I know this guy. He was one of the top attorneys for former Governor Scott Walker during the Walker administration, was the chair of the Republican Party of Wisconsin. As Trigby said, an adamant conservative Republican. And he says, quote, in this piece by Patrick Marley in Washington Post, "I will not be supporting Trump in 2024. We have serious problems facing this country, and we need a president who will not repeat 2020 and will focus on tackling those difficult issues," unquote. Is this finally, Trigby, as someone who knows Republican politics better than anybody I know, we've said this for a long time. A lot of these people don't believe the divisive and dangerous rhetoric that they talk about. And when pushed under the law and facing legal consequences, the truth seems to come out.
Yeah. And I think in his case, I mean, you know, I don't know the legal ease world all that well, but I would think that he would have some potential to be disbarred for being part of something like that. So, like, but I mean, this is what happens. You know, Rick Wilson, my colleague at the Lincoln Project, wrote a book, "Everything Trump Touches Dies." He just leaves carnage in his wake, and there's all kinds of people who end up being wasted in it, and he just keeps doing what he's doing. And I mean, Andrew Hitt's in the same spot that Jenna Ellis and Sidney Powell and all of these people who have Rudy Giuliani, who have done Donald Trump's bidding. You end up Michael Cohen. You end up serving the time, and he keeps doing what he's doing.
Pat Kreitlow, you're not only a great former journalist, now back on the air with Up North News Radio every morning 6 until 8. You're also a former state legislator, a former state senator on the Democratic side. You know Scott Fitzgerald, former Republican Senate Majority Leader. I was in a lot of meetings with him when I worked for my former boss, Dale Schultz, in the state Senate. You brought this up. And now this guy who is a former aide Daryl Carlson, a former aide to Fitzgerald, saying, quote, "This country's party system is broken," unquote. Again, Pat, these people that we saw that were just, the rhetoric just flows out of them, you know, like milk and honey. And now when pressed, it turns out they don't believe any of this, Pat. It's a dangerous thing, in my opinion.
It is, and all in the pursuit of power, however noble they think the cause might be, whether it's for economic issues or for social issues or whatever the case may be. But when you so casually cast aside the rules of the road, in this case, democracy, in order to pursue, you know, whatever you think your noble goals are, you've lost that nobility. You've lost the high ground in this case. And I can't help but comment as a former legislator on, again, the mention in the article of Senator Ron Johnson. We knew this already, but Patrick Marley brings it up again, that Ron Johnson, in the aftermath of the election, was quite public about how the Wisconsin legislature ought to just simply take over choosing the electors. And he has said that they should, if not abolish the Wisconsin Elections Commission, then, you know, just ignore it. And again, it makes him so, I mean, you hate to throw the word anti-American out there, but this is the same guy who just yesterday is again calling for Ukraine to basically surrender. So, right. You know, as somebody who's been friendly or cozy with Putin's positions for a long time, I don't have any problem using that phrase when he is talking so callously about dismantling parts of our democracy.
I want to pick up on that, Pat, because about 2 minutes left here before I have to go on to the next segment, but with Patrick Marley. But you bring this up, and we about taking over the Wisconsin Election Commission. There is a bill now moving through the legislature, a Republican-sponsored bill, where they are going to try to remove the oversight of Wisconsin's elections, which have been the freest, fairest, most accurate we can find, nothing wrong with them, and take that power away from the Wisconsin Election Commission and basically put it in the hands of the legislature. It appears, Pat, this is just more evidence of an assault on the freedoms that we have, the freedoms of fair and accurate voting by the current legislature.
And it's coming from the chair of the Senate Elections Committee, Dan Knodel. When the chair of the Elections Committee cannot be a guardrail for democracy and instead is making the case, well, you should let us, the legislature, decide this. But I'm not even going to tell you that. I'm going to couch it by saying, let's give this to the Secretary of State, but she or he can't make any decisions without the legislature saying so. That should raise some huge red flags.
Well, you and I are old enough, all three of us are old enough to remember when my former party, Trig Minaya's former party, the Republicans, tried to take all the power away from Doug La Follette when he was the Democratic Secretary of State because they didn't trust him. Now they want to take it back because they think they could control it. The irony is rich. Pat Kreitler, you can listen to him every morning from 6 until 8 on Up North News Radio. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate you sticking around. Stay around. My pleasure. Trigvi Olson. I'll be back on the other side with the great Patrick Marley from the Washington Post, who broke this story here live on Civic Media's Town Hall Ball Show, a special edition. Don't go anywhere. Back with more after this.
You're listening to Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Police investigating why a 67-year-old former college professor opened fire and went floor-by-floor shooting at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas campus yesterday. Three people were killed, a fourth wounded. Students talking about it.
All of us just heard somebody scream, like, gun, like there's a gun.
Campus police officer shot the gunman dead, identified as Anthony Polito, who cops say applied for a job at UNV but wasn't hired. Grounded by the Pentagon, all Osprey aircraft a week after a crash off the coast of Japan that killed 8 Air Force Special Ops forces. A spending bill that includes aid to Ukraine has been blocked by Senate Republicans. They demand money for border security. President Biden.
Republicans think they get everything they want without any bipartisan compromise. That's not the answer.
The White House says it's offered billions for boosting border security. Russia set March 17th as its presidential election day. This is ABC News.
Don't change the station, but do watch out for deer, would ya? You know, they're running around all willy-nilly. It is the Krebscast with me, Charlie Behrens, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin's fake Republican electors are admitting Joe Biden won the presidency in 2020. It's part of a civil lawsuit settlement announced Wednesday. The fake electors also agree not to serve on the Electoral College in 2024. It's the first time any fake electors from anywhere in the country are admitting to wrongdoing. Governor Evers signed 48 bills into law on Wednesday, included in those bills.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news talk and sports is on 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
CBS News Brief. Three people have been shot and killed on the campus of the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. Mayor Carolyn Goodman.
What a tragic time for us, but it's a time to make it a positive and do something. We must fix this now.
The gunman was shot and killed by police during a shootout. In a Republican presidential debate on News Nation, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis went hard after former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley.
I have delivered results. That's what we need for this country. And you have other candidates up here like Nikki Haley. She caves. Anytime the left comes after her, anytime the media comes after her.
Not surprisingly, Haley pushed back.
Just to respond to Ron, he continues to lie about my record. I actually said his Don't Say Gay bill didn't go far enough because it only talked about gender until the third grade.
Donald Trump wasn't there. He was at a fundraiser in Florida during the debate. CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Keep up on the day's news, talk, and sports on Wisconsin's home for locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin's fake Republican electors are admitting Joe Biden won the presidency in 2020. It's part of a civil lawsuit settlement announced Wednesday. The fake electors also agree not to serve on the Electoral College in 2024. It's the first time any fake electors from anywhere in the country are admitting to wrongdoing. Governor Evers signed 48 bills into law on Wednesday. Included in those bills are a slate of changes to voting ahead of next year's election. One of those bills changes the deadlines for clerks to send out absentee ballots. Another would require clerks to retain video footage of election night proceedings for 22 months. Evers also vetoed several election-related bills, including one that would change who could be declared indefinitely confined and another that would have lowered the cost of registered voting lists. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Celebrating 75 years.
We got something going here in Madison.
On the ice.
Shoots and scores again.
Against the boards.
He hangs on. Badgers kill off the major.
Between the pipes.
Redirect another fantastic stop.
This is Badger Hockey.
Shoots one, scores. Wow.
It's everything.
For the win, he shoots and scores.
Badger Hockey lives here.
Keep it going, baby.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. 46 today, under sunny skies, south winds around 5 miles per hour. Lows around 34 tonight, high of 49 tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 35.
From the home of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news, talk, and sports station.
Max Inc. Radio with Dennis Graham from Rockonson.
Appreciate all the support of Mad Radio 92.7. By the way, a tip of the hat to Civic Media. That was a great article on the Cap Times by Paul Fanlon. You guys got a great model that you're growing around the state, local interest with radio stations throughout these different markets. And a tip of the hat, and you're focusing on local music and nobody's doing it. So great job.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday night, 6 to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
When severe weather hits and the power goes out, do you have a plan? For reliable power and peace of mind, propane can do that. It only takes about 10 seconds for a propane power generator to restore power to your home. So no matter what Mother Nature has in store, you know you're prepared. Learn more at WIPGA.org. This message is sponsored by your local propane provider and the Wisconsin Propane Education and Research Council.
Folks, I tell you this much, the Cripes Cast is just the butter on my cheese.
Mike and Pat, the hosts of the Crash Dummies podcast.
I was born in Nigeria, actually.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was in Nigerian boarding school for like 3 years. It's like a prison sentence. We were trying to prison break our way out of there because they took our passports. So I was trying to have people send me money so I can find a new passport.
Wait. You were in Nigeria trying to have people send you money.
Yeah, trying to escape.
Sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Wisconsin enjoys a rich history in broadcasting, which we celebrate at the Wisconsin Broadcasters Hall of Fame.
I'm Michelle Betterkind, president of the WBA. We honor those who have devoted their careers to serving their local communities as legendary broadcasters. They are personalities, owners, engineers, and educators. It's an experience that's free for all to enjoy. Visit the Wisconsin Broadcasters Hall of Fame, located inside the Milwaukee Hilton City Center.
From Alexander Field to the Central Business District, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
To learn about this settlement and what are some of the key takeaways. We've talked about it in the first segment. We had Matt Flynn on talking about the legal aspect. But as a reporter, what things really stuck out to you and how did you come to find this story?
Well, the settlement was filed in court today. I've been following this case. I was at the Capitol when the electors were meeting. That was the Democratic electors who were, you know, the actual electors of the state. And at the same time, the Republicans in Wisconsin and six other states were meeting as well. They said at the time, and they say now, in case a court were to eventually rule in their favor, that they needed to hold these votes. Of course, the material that they produced ended up being used on January 6th to try to subvert the outcome of the election as Congress was certifying it. So I've been following this closely, you know, since the time the electors met, since the lawsuit was filed, and this filing came in today that included the settlement and included a number of documents that were turned up in discovery, text messages and email exchanges as the Republicans in Wisconsin were considering meeting and held their meeting in December of 2020. So, I mean, some of the, you know, when the lawsuit was first filed, the plaintiffs, who are a couple of Biden electors, they alleged that these Republicans had defrauded voters and they were seeking up to $200,000 apiece from each of them. But they also said that their real goal was to shine a light on what had happened and prevent it from happening again. So in the settlement, no money is exchanged. They aren't requiring the Republicans to pay their legal bills. They're not extracting any fines from them. But they have got this agreement that the 10 electors have put out this formal statement that that Biden won the election, that they are going to withdraw these filings they made with the National Archives and the U.S. Senate and other federal agencies. And they won't be electors in 2024. They won't be electors anytime Trump is on the ballot in the future. And they've promised not to engage in any effort to help people who are claiming to be electors if they don't have the actual certificate from the state governor saying that they're the true electors.
We are talking live on the phone with Patrick Marley. He is a reporter for The Washington Post who broke this story today of the settlement of these fake electors, my words, of fake electors who attempted to subvert the election of January 6th and in Congress. And there has been a settlement, as Patrick has said, on this civil case. Patrick, one of the things that really stuck out to me in your reporting, and I quote your article here, They, meaning these people who were the defendants, also promised to assist the Department of Justice with its investigation to help the Biden electors as they continue their lawsuit against Jim Troupas and Kenneth Chesbro. Troupas did not immediately respond for a request to comment, and the attorney for Chesbro did not have an initial comment. But to me, Patrick, that seems to be a key element. I mean, perhaps these are my words, not yours. It would appear these guys have flipped on Troupas and Chesbro and are going to be helpful in the prosecution moving forward. Is that accurate?
Well, we can't call it a prosecution because it's a civil lawsuit filed by civil parties. You know, nobody in Wisconsin has been charged related to what the electors did. We have no indication that the Attorney General, Josh Call, is investigating that. And so the... That has happened in some other states. The electors in Michigan were charged with crimes. Those cases are ongoing. Some, but not all of the electors in Georgia were charged. There are criminal investigations happening in Arizona, Nevada, and New Mexico. I think that covers all the states we know of.
Mm-hmm.
But this civil case, when it was filed by the Biden electors, was against the 10 Republicans who claimed to be electors in Wisconsin, as well as Jim Troupas, who was the attorney for Trump, who oversaw the recount in Wisconsin, and Kenneth Chesbro, who was a Trump attorney or an attorney assisting Trump in multiple states over this regarding the people who are meeting as electors. Those two, Chesbro and Troupas, are not part of the settlement. The case is ongoing. We don't know what their perspective is. They haven't talked yet. But yes, as part of the settlement, the 10 Wisconsin electors agreed to assist with the ongoing case, as well as with the Department of Justice. You know, Jack Smith, the special counsel, is investigating all things related to January 6th and the attempts to overturn the election. Andrew Hitt, the former chairman of the Wisconsin Republican Party, said today that he has been cooperating with the U.S. Department of Justice since May of 2022, so for a year and a half now.
I'm going to let Trevi jump in a second, but I want to get quickly, I would sort of button this up off our text line, WRCE in Richland Center. Robert from Richland Center asks or says, this is a civil lawsuit brought by two of the real electors. So does this mean that the deal is with them and not the prosecutors? That would be correct based on what you just said, correct, Patrick?
That's correct. It's a settlement between the electors who filed the lawsuit. And so this has no implications for anything a prosecutor might do.
We are talking with Patrick Marley, the reporter for The Washington Post, who broke this story on the settlement of the Trump electors agreeing that Joe Biden won the 2020 election. Trigvi Olson, senior advisor of the Lincoln Project, who joins us each and every Wednesday. Trigvi, any questions directly for Patrick?
Well, first, I'd just like to say, Pat, that's a great story. I mean, I think the depth of what you had, the Andrew Hitt stuff, it really was a great piece. I guess what I'm curious, and I know you spend a fair amount of time also focusing on Michigan, how would you compare the approaches that the two attorney generals have taken in pursuing the fake electors?
That's a great question, and the answer is very differently. So the attorney general there in Michigan initially looked into a similar situation played out in Michigan with Republicans in that state. You know, Biden won Michigan just like he won Wisconsin. Republicans there submitted paperwork claiming to be the state's true electors. The attorney general, Dan and Nessel, investigated that and at one point turned what she had over to the U.S. Department of Justice. I can't remember if it was the Department of Justice or the special counsel at that time, but at any rate, said this is proper for the federal government. Then she didn't feel that they were moving quickly enough, and so early this year, she sort of reclaimed the case, and she filed criminal charges against, they have 16 electors there, filed criminal charges against all of them. Those cases are in the very early stages. They have dropped the charges against one of the 16 electors there, who is cooperating, but we haven't seen the terms of any deal they might have. They've just dropped the charges for that person. And so, you know, it's just a very different posture. In Wisconsin, we have not seen any indication that the attorney general has been investigating. Now, I suppose it's possible that he is investigating and we just don't know about it. But if that is the case, he's keeping it extremely quietly. I don't believe that he's investigating, but I guess we don't know for sure.
I mean, I think, you know, it's fascinating to me, and I do think the fact that these people had to admit that what they did was wrong and that Joe Biden won is a substantial step.
I would just say that this agreement states that they are not admitting to wrongdoing. They are saying now that Joe Biden was elected the president. They don't dispute that in any court filings I've seen. Andrew Hitt was very explicit today in saying he believes he and the other Republicans were deceived, that they were tricked, presumably by the Trump campaign as part of this, but they are not admitting to having done anything wrong. From their perspective,
no wrongdoing.
They they believed that they were doing this to keep their legal options open in case the state Supreme Court case that they just lost an hour before this decision, that could be appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court. And should they win, they would have these electoral votes that could then be cast. Of course, the filings that they made were used in a very different way in the end, or right. attempted to be used by others in a very different way.
Along with Trygve Olsen, I'm Todd Albaugh. We are joined on this special edition of the show on Civic Media by the great reporter Patrick Marley of the Washington Post, covering the story that Patrick broke today in the Washington Post, that the Wisconsin Trump electors have settled their civil lawsuit. And I want to go, Patrick, to something that you wrote here in your story. You say, quote, "The records also show the Republicans tried to keep their meeting out of the public eye, changing which room in the state capitol they met in to avoid passing the office of a Democratic lawmaker whose staff might recognize them. They brought a four-manned armed security team with them," according to text messages. I know as a reporter, you're not here to offer your personal opinion, but just someone who has worked in the Capitol, the building, a long time, know a lot of these actors. What does that just say to you as a reporter who keeps your antenna up?
Well, I mean, they didn't want to be seen in their meeting, it seemed. And I know that because I was running around the Capitol that day trying to find what room they were in, and I was unsuccessful in finding them during the meeting. I talked to some of the people they were with. Mark Jefferson, the executive director of the state party, was outside the Capitol that day, and I remember walking up to him and trying to figure out where they were. So, on the one hand, they weren't, you know, when you approach them and you ask them about it, yes, they gave the description of what they're doing then that they get today. We're doing this as part of our legal options. But they didn't want to put any attention on it. You see a lot of back and forth and text messages that have come out through the court documents about how to approach this. There's one, this is secondhand, but Rudy Giuliani was telling them don't have any media alerts at all about this. And there was some pushback from that, from Andrew Hitt, saying like, well, we want to put out a statement and tell people what we've done after the fact. So there's some tension there, but clearly, you know, there's a lot of discussion about how to bring people in the building, how much time beforehand to bring them into the state capitol, whether Andrew Hitt and Bob Spindell, who would be more easily recognized by the media because they're, you know, more public figures, whether they should bring them in at a different time or at a different entrance, figuring out which room to meet in. And yes, at one point they say, if we do it in the Senate parlor, it's near the Democratic leader's office, and so we should find a different room.
Well, 45 seconds left, Patrick. What do you think this says moving forward? Do you think Jack Smith and others can use this? Is this going to propel other litigation? What does your sense as a reporter tell you?
I don't think that. I mean, I think that it's information that Jack Smith can use for different aspects of his investigation, which is obviously focused on Trump and the broader effort to try to overturn the results. I don't think that we should read into that somehow that's going to be used against these electors. These electors are cooperating. So the notion that they would then be targeted by Jack Smith seems a little remote.
Thanks so much, Patrick Marley of Washington Post. Great reporting. Thank you for joining us, my friend. I appreciate it. Back on the other side. Don't go anywhere.
This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX. Join Brandi Grayson to discuss the challenges and obstacles families face today. Black Convergence, Thursday nights at 7 on the Talk You Can't Ignore. Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Who's your Bob? Who's your daddy? What you got for us, Bob?
Look, you could dig Richard Nixon out of the ground right now, have him declare as a Democrat, and I would vote for him before I would vote for Donald Trump.
Dead Tricky Dick over Trump.
And I hate Richard Nixon.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple.
in Iraq. Our truck hit a roadside bomb. I had about 16 surgeries on my hand so that I could regain function. And when I came home, I needed a new roof due to a storm. And my electrical was deemed unsafe. And I was about to lose homeowner's insurance as well. I didn't really know where to go in order to get help. And so I applied for Operation Homefront Critical Financial Assistance Program. They've really been a blessing. Operation Homefront is a safety net. A lot of veterans, they fall through the cracks sometimes. And Operation Homefront, they catch us. It's been a blessing to us. It's a blessing to other veteran families. And it's good to know that when we come home, there are people who are there that care about us and want to see us do well and want to see us succeed. And we feel it and we appreciate that. I would say you guys are angels behind closed doors.
Visit OperationHomefront.org to learn more.
Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. News, talk, and sports from Vesper to Plover.
At one of the most historic times in Wisconsin political history.
Yeah, I mean, fascinating in many levels. And I said that to Patrick. I mean, what a great, that is an amazing story that he's put together. I think understanding the background, you know, the fact that he was in the building that day looking for him says so much about what kind of reporter Patrick is. And it's not like guys like you and I didn't know that, Todd, but people in the state of Wisconsin are lucky to have those kinds of reporters on the beat. It really is, you know, it's important. And the fact, quite frankly, that the Washington Post has somebody like Patrick in Wisconsin covering the state, that says a lot about the importance of Wisconsin because of issues like this.
I know, and to his credit, I mean, I've known Patrick a long time, wrote a lot of stories about my former bosses, was always fair, but was dogged. And, you know, made you come forth and be honest with him. And you're absolutely right. The fact that Patrick Marley couldn't find these fake electors tells me that they were going to great lengths. And you said during our break off the air on the stream, I mean, how do these people get armed guards in the Capitol when you're not supposed to have firearms at the Capitol?
Boy, if I were the Capitol Police, I would be interested in that little tidbit because... Yeah, I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah. Also, and again, Patrick's a great reporter, so he wasn't going to give us his opinion, but we will. I'm interested in this trick, V. You know, the last paragraph in Patrick Marley's story says, on January 5th, 2021, a day before the Capitol, U.S. Capitol, was attacked as Congress met to certify the results, Wisconsin GOP staffer Alicia Gunther flew to Washington so she could deliver the elector paperwork for the Wisconsin Republicans. Quote, 5 minutes until I make the drop, she told Andrew Hitt, the chairman of the state Republican Party at the time, in a text. Quote, I feel like a drug dealer, unquote. That's the way the story ends. You and I have both been in politics a long time, Trigvy. When you tell a fellow Republican you feel like a drug dealer about something you're doing, that doesn't sound like someone who believes that they're following the law and doing the right thing.
That is true. They knew what they were doing was wrong. It isn't like, I mean, there's a part of me that thinks, okay, they're saying, all right, Biden won, but they're not admitting wrongdoing. They all knew that wrongdoing was going on. They knew that based on what's in the Georgia case and the fact that some of them were texting with each other, saying, well, maybe this isn't right, maybe this isn't legal. They knew what they were doing was not on the up and up, and they knew all along that Joe Biden had won the state of Wisconsin. I mean, I was on a, you'll think this is kind of funny maybe, but I think listeners will find it interesting. I was on a call with some people from outside the state of Wisconsin, and they were asking about elections in the state of Wisconsin. And I said, you know, having been involved in multiple recounts in the state of Wisconsin going back two decades, Wisconsin votes just don't change. So much of Wisconsin uses optical scanners. Like, Wisconsin is a state that has really invested in having good elections. And so when they try and say, well, what was it, you know, that wasn't right, they come up with all these like shiny objects, drop boxes, ballot harvesting, whatever. But they have no meaning, mm-hmm. right? They're just attempts to confuse and create chaos, and they know that it's wrong.
I want to ask you about this, Trivi, because we've talked a couple times this week on this program about something I'm calling, my words, a split of sorts in the Republican Party. We saw this with Reince Priebus now over the weekend, last past weekend, telling George Stephanopoulos on This Week that he is going to support Donald Trump for president, even with 91 indictments. He said he's in 110%. If that's what the Republican Party wants, unquote. And meanwhile, former Republican Speaker Paul Ryan of Wisconsin has said he will not even attend the RNC convention in Milwaukee if Trump is the nominee, and has tantamount endorsing Nikki Haley. You can't be on both Reince Priebus' side and Paul Ryan's side. And at the legislative level, Robin Voss, the Speaker of the Assembly, is maintaining that he will not release these pay raises for UW system employees based on his adversity to diversity, equity, and inclusion. Meanwhile, Senate Majority Leader Devin Lemahieu yesterday said he wants to, and he's sick of holding this up. Talk in the about 3 minutes we have left here. Am I on to something or am I off base? There seems to finally be maybe a split within the party between absolute crazy and, look, we have to maintain some sanity.
Well, I think there's some split. I think the question with Paul Ryan is, you know, Paul, will you vote for Joe Biden if your choices are Donald Trump and Joe Biden? Because he knows that democracy is on the ballot. I think it also gets to something important. And I say this all the time, Tommy Thompson used to say, two kinds of politicians, those who want to be, those who want to do. For those who want to be, people who want to be, and I hate to say this because he was a friend of mine for a long time, Reince is demonstrating himself to be somebody that only really cares about wanting to be important, be in power. And Paul Ryan, I think if you look at his track record, well, I disagree with the fact that he chose not to fight like Liz Cheney has done, but to walk away and quietly fight behind the scenes. Paul was willing to give up the third most powerful position in government because he didn't want to be a part of it. That says something about Paul Ryan. Do I wish Paul Ryan would be doing more and speaking out more articulately? Well, he's starting to. But when you're fighting against these kinds of anti-democratic, autocratic forces, it really reveals who people are. And I will tell you, as somebody who made the choice that I needed to look my daughters in the eye, and I don't know how Reince looks his son Jack, who's the same age as my oldest daughter, in the eye, when he's resigning him to a future, if Reince gets his way, that doesn't involve American democracy. He doesn't.
Yeah.
I will just say, it isn't about not having... growing up, it's not just about your kids or grandkids growing up in a Wisconsin or an America without democracy. You really don't want to see what the world looks like without that anchor of a strong, shining city on a hill that is America and American democracy.
We didn't have time to get to it with all the breaking news. Trigby is a Packer owner. What a win. What a win over the Kansas City Chiefs.
They may have Tay-Tay, but we've got love, baby. Love conquers all.
We'll have more of the Packers with Trigby Olson next Wednesday. Thank you, my friend. Appreciate you as always. Have a great week. Back with more on the other side. Kelly Call and also Jim McKernan.
Whether you're hanging out on State Street or hanging out on the lakes, thanks for listening. This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
When I first had my baby, I'd get comments all the time about how happy I must be. I remember thinking, I want to be happy. Why don't I feel that way? It was hard to admit.
Locally grown radio, WFHR programming, is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Your soulmate is somebody who, when you get out of the McDonald's drive-thru, she'll do a pickle-ectomy and take the pickles out of my cheeseburger and put extra pickles on hers.
I'm flummoxed, I'm flabbergasted, I'm quacking upset right now.
You're going to defend pickles?
Except for bread and butter pickles, those things are the devil.
Oh, see, now if I were going to try any of them, it would
be... Pat! Come on! Okay.
And this is why Greg and I are not married.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Christopher Cruz. In the final Republican presidential debate before the Iowa caucuses, there was little agreement among the four on the stage.